Okay, imagine this. You're dealing with a killer migraine.
Ugh, the worst.
Yeah, so your doctor prescribes Finergan and, you follow the directions exactly as they say, but instead of getting some relief, you end up with like this horrible side effect, a really serious injury. And then later on, you find out the drug company, they actually knew about this risk all along,
Oh, wow.
but they never bothered to like update that warning label. So what happens then? Could you even sue them?
Well, that is exactly what's at the heart of Weiss v. Levine, a total landmark case that ended up going all the way to the Supreme Court. It really digs into this, tricky area where FDA drug approvals kind of bump up against the possibility of lawsuits at the state level.
So basically what we're deep diving into here for our listener is a case that really, truly impacts every single prescription drug out there.
Right.
It's about like finding that balance between federal regulations and at the same time protecting those individual rights.
Yeah, it's not just some abstract legal debate happening in a vacuum.
No, not at all. This has real consequences, right, for drug companies and, of course, the people who rely on their products.
Absolutely. Major real-world consequences.
So let's break down the specifics here. We're talking about this woman, Diana Levine, who was prescribed Finergan. It's an anti-nausea drug, and in her case, it was for a migraine. But things went really bad when the drug was given using this IV push method.
Yeah, so with the IV push method, the drug unfortunately went into an artery instead of her vein,
Oh, wow.
and that led to gangrene, and ultimately they had to amputate her forearm. Just a completely tragic outcome.
That's awful, truly devastating. So this is what led Levine to sue Wyeth, the company that made the drug, right?
Yes.
Because they claimed that they failed to like adequately warn about the risks that came with using that specific method, that IV push method.
Yeah, that was her allegation. But Wyeth's defense was basically, hey, hold on, the FDA approved our label, so we're good. We did what we were supposed to do. They were really claiming that federal law kind of superseded Levine's lawsuit, arguing for this like single national standard for these things.
Right, instead of having like a patchwork of state regulations.
Exactly.
But the Supreme Court, they didn't buy that argument at all. And that's really what makes Wyeth v. Levine so important.
Definitely a game changer.
Because it means like a drug label isn't just a get out of jail free card for these companies.
Right.
They can't just get that approval and then wash their hands of it. They have a responsibility that keeps going to make sure their labels, really reflect the most up-to-date safety information.
Right, and I think it really emphasizes that what we know about a drug's effects, it can change, things evolve. And so manufacturers can't just rely on that initial approval. They have to be constantly monitoring and updating for safety.
Okay, so the court, they really had to grapple with some pretty big legal questions here. Could you kind of walk us through those?
Sure. So the two main points of contention were, does that FDA approval, does it automatically preempt, or in other words, override any state-level failure to warn claims? And the second question was it actually impossible for Wyeth to follow both state and federal law at the same time?
Oh, so they were saying they were stuck.
Yeah, that was their argument.
Wow, those are some really heavy questions. I mean, this has major implications for, both sides, both drug companies and patients.
For sure.
So how did the court finally decide? What was their ruling?
Well, in a 6-3 decision, the Supreme Court sided with Levine. They basically concluded that getting approval from the FDA doesn't automatically block state lawsuits in cases like this.
Okay.
Especially, they emphasize, when a manufacturer could have taken steps to make that warning label better.
So they're saying the company had some responsibility here.
Yeah, they really did.
That's a pretty decisive win for Levine and, I mean, probably for patients in general,
I
right?
would say so, yeah.
This must have sent some serious shockwaves through the pharmaceutical industry. What was the thinking behind a decision like that?
Well, one of the most interesting things about this whole case is how much the court relied on the presumption against preemption. It basically means courts don't like to assume that federal law automatically trumps state law unless Congress very clearly says so.
Okay.
And this is especially true when you're talking about public health and safety.
So unless Congress basically spells it out and says, like, federal law wins in these situations, the courts are going to give the states some room to protect their citizens.
Exactly. And in this case, they didn't find anything from Congress that said they wanted to completely bar state lawsuits about these drug warnings.
That makes sense. But why, they were really arguing they couldn't possibly meet both the federal and state requirements.
Right.
So how did the court deal with that argument?
Well, that's where this thing called the FDA's Changes Being Affected regulation comes in, also
Okay.
known as CBE.
CBE, okay.
So the court pointed out that Wyeth could have used the CBE pathway to make that warning about the IV push method stronger without needing to get full FDA approval first.
Oh, so there was a way around it. They weren't totally stuck.
Right, they had options. The court basically rejected their impossibility argument, stating that Wyeth absolutely could have used the CBE process to update that label and include the newest safety information. They just chose not to.
Interesting. The CBE regulation sounds pretty important. Can you maybe, explain it a little bit for our listener? Like, what is this exactly?
Sure. It's basically a way for drug manufacturers to make certain changes to their labels, especially the strength and warnings, without having to wait for that formal FDA approval. It's all about getting that vital safety information out to doctors and patients faster.
So like a fast track for important updates.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not like companies can just go around changing labels whenever they want.
Right.
Any changes, they still have to be supported by science, and the FDA can review the changes and ask for modifications or even a complete withdrawal if they need to. It's this balancing act between speed and making sure things are accurate.
Okay, so like a safety valve, but with safeguards in place.
Yeah, you got it. And this regulation really influenced the court's thinking. They saw it as proof that Wyeth wasn't truly caught between those federal and state requirements. There was a way to follow both.
So the message here is that drug companies have a responsibility that goes beyond that initial approval from the FDA.
Absolutely, 100%.
It's about staying on top of things.
Ongoing vigilance.
Right, ongoing vigilance. The court even said something about that, right? About the FDA not being able to catch everything.
They did, yeah. They pointed out that the FDA simply doesn't have the resources to monitor all these drugs, all 11,000 of them, all the time. And that the manufacturers, well, they're the ones with the best and most up-to-date information about their own products.
It's like they're acknowledging the FDA's limitations while also saying, hey, you drug companies, you have to step up and take responsibility.
Exactly. They can't just rely on the FDA to catch every single issue. They need to be proactive.
It sounds like this was a big win for patient safety and for, consumer rights in general. But I can't imagine this decision is unanimous, right?
You're right. It wasn't. Justice Alito, he wrote a dissenting opinion, and Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Scalia, they agreed with him. They argued that letting juries second-guess the FDA's expertise could really undermine the agency and lead to, different labels all across the country.
So they were worried about creating a kind of patchwork of regulations with different states having their own different rules?
Exactly. Their concern was consistency.
Okay, that's a valid point. It makes sense that they want to avoid confusion.
Yeah, they felt that a single national standard, even if it's not perfect, might be the better option.
I see their point. What about any concurring opinions? Were there any justices who agreed with the outcome, but maybe for different reasons?
Yes, Justice Thomas agreed with the outcome, but he wrote his own separate opinion expressing concerns about how the court was relying on this purposes and objectives test for preemption.
Huh.
He thought they should be focusing on whether a state law directly clashes with federal law, not on, broader interpretations of what Congress intended.
So he agreed that Levine's case wasn't preempted, but he got there through a different legal argument.
Right, a different legal path.
Interesting. Okay, any other concurring opinions worth mentioning?
Yes, Justice Breyer also wrote a concurrence, and it's a really important one. He basically said that the FDA could, down the road, decide to create regulations that specifically preempt state law if they felt it was necessary.
Oh, wow.
It's like he's acknowledging the dissenting justice's concerns, but still agreeing with the majority.
Yeah, like he's saying, okay, I see your point, but the FDA has the power to overrule this if they want to.
Exactly. He realized that state lawsuits could complicate things for the FDA, but emphasized that ultimately the FDA still gets to decide how much power the states have in this area.
Wow, that adds a whole other level of complexity to this case, huh?
Yeah.
It means this decision might not be the final word on the subject.
Right, exactly. It shows that ongoing tension between federal and state power when it comes to industries like pharmaceuticals.
Where do you even draw the line? Well, this is clearly a case with huge implications, raising all these questions about like what the FDA should be doing, the power of state courts and just people's basic rights.
For sure.
But why should the average person even care about Wyeth v. Levine? What does this even mean for them?
That's a really great question. At its heart, this case is about access to justice and holding these big corporations accountable.
Hmm.
It's about making sure people have a way to, to fight back when they feel they've been hurt by a product, even if that product has the FDA's stamp of approval.
So it's not just about like legal technicalities?
No, not at all.
It's about real people and real consequences when they get hurt by products they thought they could trust. It's about their right to seek justice.
Absolutely. This decision basically says that companies can't just wave around that FDA approval like it's some kind of shield.
Right.
They have a responsibility to make sure their products are safe and that those warnings are accurate and up to date.
It sounds like this case really was a win for consumers.
It was. And it reminds us that even with all these regulations, regular people can still hold corporations accountable.
That's reassuring. But I'm sure there's more to explore here.
Oh, definitely.
Can we maybe dig a little deeper into why the court decided the way they did and what kind of impact it had on the whole pharmaceutical industry in part two.
For sure. I'm ready when you are. Lots more to unpack here. You know, we were just talking about those concurring opinions, and particularly Justice Breyer's idea that the FDA could issue preemptive regulations,
right,
you know, in the future,
hmm?
Essentially giving them like a trump card to overrule those state lawsuits.
Yeah, it's so interesting how he seems to kind of like be on both sides of the fence.
Yeah.
Acknowledging the worries about, you know, having all these different state laws, but still ultimately siding with the majority.
Totally. And it's like he's saying, look, I get why you're worried about inconsistent state laws.
Right.
But that's not a good reason to automatically shut down every state tort claim.
Right.
If the FDA think there's a real problem, mm-hmm. they've got the tools to fix it.
So it's like a possibility, a check on the power of this decision.
Yeah.
But one that the FDA hasn't used yet.
Right.
It definitely makes you wonder about what's going to happen with drug regulation in the future.
For sure. If the FDA did actually try to use these preemptive regulations, it would probably cause a huge debate.
I bet.
I mean, think about it. Federal oversight versus states being able to govern themselves when it comes to, you know, protecting consumers.
Right.
That's a battle that goes way back.
Yeah, for sure. Let's zoom in a little bit now.
Okay.
We've been talking big picture, but how did Y.V. Levine really change things, you know, in the legal world?
Well, it really clarified this whole idea of impossibility preemption in drug cases.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Wyeth's main defense was that they couldn't possibly follow both the federal labeling rules and the state laws about warnings.
Yeah, they were saying they were trapped, but the court didn't buy it.
Right, exactly. The court basically said, look, the CBE regulation gives you a way to make those warnings stronger without having to go through the whole FDA approval process.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't actually impossible to satisfy both the state and federal requirements.
This seems like a really important point for lawyers who handle these kinds of cases.
Yeah.
Like, it just got a lot harder to use that impossibility defense.
Oh, for sure. This case really upped the ante for manufacturers trying to use preemption to protect themselves.
Right.
It's not enough to just point to the FDA's approval and say, our hands are tied.
Mm-hmm.
They have to prove that they really didn't have any other options.
So the court is basically saying, don't hide behind the FDA.
Right.
You, the company, have a responsibility to make sure your products are safe, and you have to be proactive about it.
That's a great way to put it. The court understood that FDA can't possibly keep an eye on every single drug out there and make sure everything is perfect.
Yeah, it's just not realistic.
Right. And so a lot of that responsibility for staying on top of things, it falls on the companies that make and sell these medications.
The ones making the money off of it.
Exactly. They have the most detailed knowledge and access to the latest data.
Right. And Wyeth and Levine basically made that a law.
Yep, it did. Okay, so we've talked about impossibility preemption, but what about obstacle preemption?
Right.
Did that play a role in this case at all?
Yeah, good question.
It did, although it wasn't the main issue. Obstacle preemption comes up when a state law is seen as like getting in the way of or undermining what federal law is trying to do.
Okay.
So in this case, Wyeth argued that letting these state-level failure-to-warn claims go forward would make it harder for the FDA to keep drug labels consistent across the country.
So they were basically saying if every state can have its own labeling rules,
right,
it'll be chaos and the FDA won't be able to do its job.
Exactly. But the court pushed back on that idea. They mm-hmm. said that state tort law actually helps the FDA do its job.
Huh, interesting.
They saw those state lawsuits as a way to uncover hidden risks,
yeah,
and encourage companies to be more honest about potential dangers.
So instead of seeing it as this confusing jumble of regulations,
right,
they saw it as like multiple layers of protection for the consumer.
Exactly. It's like having a safety net under a safety net.
Right. So the court was basically saying, look, the FDA sets the minimum standard for safety, but states can set a higher bar if they want to through their own laws and court decisions.
That's a great point. It's kind of like building codes.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government might say, here's the minimum you have to do to be safe from fires.
Yeah.
But a state can always make stricter rules if they want to give their residents extra protection.
That's a really good analogy. It shows how state and federal regulations can work together instead of clashing all the time.
Exactly. It's about collaboration, not conflict.
Okay, so we've talked about those two types of preemption, but are there any other important takeaways from this case, especially for people in the legal field who might be dealing with similar situations?
Well, one really important lesson is that you have to really understand how the FDA works and all its regulations,
mm-hmm.
especially the specific ones like that CBE rule we talked about.
So it's not just about knowing the general rules of preemption. You really have to dive into the nitty-gritty.
Exactly. You have to know the specifics of those regulations and how they might help companies follow the law,
right,
or, you know, get them in trouble.
Interesting. Y.V. Levine really shows how important it is for the lawyers in this area to be experts in both federal and state law.
Oh, absolutely.
And how those two systems interact.
It's like having this big toolbox full of specialized tools.
Yeah.
You have to know which tool is the right one for the job and how to use it properly.
Okay, so lawyers need to be really well-versed in all the ins and outs of drug regulation, but what are some other practical takeaways from this case?
Well, for drug companies, it really emphasizes how important it is to have strong systems in place for monitoring their products after they're already on the market.
Right.
And managing risks proactively. They can't just get that FDA approval and then relax, assuming everything's going to be fine.
Right.
They need to be constantly watching for any new safety information.
Right.
And be ready to update their labels if necessary.
Yeah, even if it means admitting that their old label was wrong.
Exactly. It's a shift from reacting to problems to anticipating them.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being proactive, thinking ahead about what could go wrong.
Right, and addressing those issues quickly and transparently.
Exactly.
This case really upped the ante for drug companies.
Yeah, it did, but you could also argue that it made things safer for consumers.
That's a good point.
By holding companies responsible for not warning about known risks,
right,
it encourages them to really put safety and transparency first.
Yeah, so ultimately, it might have been a good thing.
Potentially, it's a reminder that the law can be a powerful tool for protecting people.
Mm-hmm. But as we've seen, these issues are super complicated and there are a lot of gray areas. So what are some of the big questions that are still unanswered after this case?
Well, one of the biggest questions, like we mentioned earlier, is whether the FDA will actually step in and create those preemptive regulations that Justice Breyer was talking about.
Right, that's the big what if.
It could potentially shift the balance of power back towards the federal government
right.
and away from state courts.
And that would probably be pretty controversial, right?
Oh, definitely. You'd have people saying it's necessary to keep things consistent and avoid that patchwork of state laws we talked about.
Right.
And then you'd have others saying it's federal overreach and that it could weaken consumer protections.
Right. So it's that classic battle between people who want strong federal regulation and those who think states should have more control over protecting their own citizens.
Exactly. It's a debate that's not going away anytime soon.
Especially with our system of federal and state law.
Right. This case has definitely given us a lot to think about.
For sure.
It touches on so many important issues.
Mm-hmm. Like individual rights, corporate responsibility, the FDA's role, and how to balance federal and state power.
It's like a microcosm of bigger issues we're dealing with as a society.
It really is, and it reminds us that the law isn't set in stone.
Right.
It's constantly changing, shaped by decisions like this one, new laws, and how our values as a society shift over time. But we haven't really touched on the personal side of this case.
True.
Diana Levine's story and what her lawsuit meant are important too.
Definitely. Maybe in part three we can talk more about that.
I think that's a perfect place to pick up. It's important to remember that behind all the legal stuff, there are real people whose lives are deeply affected by these decisions. You know, we've spent all this time going over the legal details of Wyeth B. Levine, you know, talking about preemption and the FDA and that whole back and forth between state and federal power.
Right.
But I think it's important to, like, come back to the human side of this whole thing.
Absolutely.
Diana Levine, I mean, she wasn't just a name on a court case. You know, she was a real person who had to deal with this, like, life-changing injury.
Yeah, it's easy to forget that when you're, you know, deep in the weeds about those legal arguments and precedents. This case is really about a woman who lost her arm because of, you know, complications from a drug she was prescribed.
Right.
And it's about her fight to hold someone accountable and, you know, to get some justice.
It just goes to show how these legal battles, they have real consequences for people. You know, it affects their lives in such a major way. So can you tell us a little bit more about Diana Levine and what she went through?
Well, from the court records, we know that she was a professional violist.
Oh, wow.
A musician.
So losing her arm, that must have been just devastating, not just for her career, but, you know, for everything.
Absolutely. It impacted her whole life, and it really highlights why things like product liability lawsuits are so important.
Mm-hmm.
They give people a way to, you know, to try to get some compensation when they've been hurt, especially when it could have been prevented.
It seems like Levine's lawsuit, it wasn't just about, you know, her own personal situation, right?
Yeah, it wasn't.
It felt like she was trying to make a bigger point.
Right.
Like she was saying that drug companies can't just ignore safety concerns and that patients, they have a right to know about the risks of the medications they're taking.
Exactly. She wanted more transparency from the pharmaceutical industry.
And her story, it resonated with people.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, a lot of people.
It's like she was showing that anyone can stand up to these big companies and actually make a difference. Not just for themselves, but for others too.
It's that classic David and Goliath story.
Right. And it obviously resonated with the Supreme Court, too. I mean, their decision to side with her, it wasn't just a win for Levine. It was a win for patients all over the country.
Yeah, for sure.
It shows how the legal system, even though it's not perfect, can still do good, you know?
It can be a force for progress.
Exactly. And it really highlights how important it is for people to have access to good legal representation, especially when they're going up against these huge companies, these pharmaceutical giants.
Right. It's essential. So speaking of access to justice, how did this case actually change things for these types of lawsuits?
Yeah, I'm curious about that.
Did it make it easier for people to sue drug companies or harder?
Yeah.
Well, it's complicated. On the one hand, Wyeth v. Levine definitely took away a big obstacle for plaintiffs because now it's clear that FDA approval doesn't automatically protect drug companies from these state-level claims.
Right.
So it opened the door for more people to sue based on those inadequate warnings.
So more of these cases can actually be heard in state courts now.
Exactly. But, you know, on the other hand, this case also showed just how hard it is to actually win against these big companies.
Oh, yeah. They have tons of resources and lawyers.
Tons. They have so much money and really smart legal strategies.
So even with this Supreme Court decision on their side, it's still a huge challenge for people to take on these companies.
Yeah, definitely. The outcome of each case depends on so many things, you know, the specific facts, how strong the evidence is, and how good the lawyers are.
So this decision didn't mean that everyone would automatically win these lawsuits.
No.
They still have a lot of work to do to prove their case and fight back against whatever arguments the drug companies throw at them.
Absolutely. But there's no question that Wyeth v. Levine changed the game.
Hmm.
It gave plaintiffs a stronger position and sent a message to the pharmaceutical industry. You can't just rely on the FDA to keep you out of trouble.
Right. You have to take responsibility yourselves. It's like you were saying before, the law is always changing.
It's a living thing.
It's shaped by decisions like this, by new laws, and even by how our values as a society change.
And this case, with its focus on patient safety, you know, holding corporations accountable, and that balance between the states and the feds, it's still important today.
Yeah, its impact is huge. So as we wrap up our deep dive into Wyeth v. Levine, what's the one thing you really want our listeners to take away from all of this? What's the most important thing to remember about this case?
I think the main takeaway is that just because the FDA approves a drug, it doesn't mean it's automatically safe. Drug companies have to keep monitoring their products, watch out for new risks, and make sure their warnings are accurate and up to date.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who are hurt by dangerous drugs, there are legal options available, even if those drugs were approved by the FDA.
It's all about giving patients more power, making sure corporations are held responsible, and making sure our legal system protects public health.
I like that. Well said. And it shows how important both state and federal law are when it comes to protecting consumers and making the marketplace safer for everyone.
Wyeth v. Levine is really a powerful example of how one person can make a difference, how complex our legal system is, and how the law can adapt to what society needs. It's been so interesting to really dig deep into this case, a case that's just as important now as it was back then.
I agree. It's fascinating.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Wyeth v. Levine. And as always, we encourage you to keep thinking about these complicated issues and to have thoughtful, informed conversations about the law and how it affects our lives.
That's what it's all about. CIO.